Tuesday, May 3rd, 2011. This is a meeting of the Champaign County Board, Committee of the Whole for ELOC Highway and Facilities. Time is 6:08. Roll call, please.
Alex.
Here.
Ammons.
Here.
Anderson.
Here.
Benzel.
Here.
Ferguson.
Here.
Betts.
Here.
Carter.
Here.
Coert.
Present.
Esri.
Here.
Holderfield.
Here.
James.
Here.
Jay.
Here.
Jones.
Here.
Kurtz.
Here.
Langenheim.
Here.
McGinty.
Here.
Michaels.
Here.
Mosier.
Here.
Nudo.
Here.
O'Connor.
Here.
Petrie.
Here.
Quisenberry.
Here.
Richards.
Here.
Rosales.
Here.
Sack.
Here.
Schrader.
Yes.
Weibel.
Here. We have a quorum. Were the minutes distributed for the committee of the whole? They were by email, were they not? I put a motion to accept the minutes, approve the minutes of the committee of the whole for April
7, 2011.
So moved. Second by Mr. Rosales, second by Ms. Anderson. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Seek approval of the agenda. Moved by Mr. Carter, second by Ms. Coert. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Designation of parliamentarian. Ms. Busey has informed me she'd rather not be parliamentarian. Is that not correct? Mr. Betts has graciously agreed to be parliamentarian. Is that not correct, Mr. Betts?
I wasn't gracious.
I said you were gracious. Therefore, I would like to.
I'll do it to forgive you, sir.
I would like to appoint Mr. Betts as our parliamentarian.
Don't call me out of order.
Oh, I can't talk to him then. Okay. Public participation. So we have one so far, Mr. William Cole.
Thank you very much. And I'm William Pope, 4018 North Lincoln Avenue. I'd like to report on a number of meetings and conversations that our group have had with the Illinois Commerce Commission. And I'd like to talk about only about the Olympian Drive Railroad Bridge. Firstly, the plan that was submitted to the Illinois Commerce Commission is not the current plan. The original plan was to connect to Route 45. The current bridge will take the road to a point where it stops on a small tar and chip road just a couple of hundred yards beyond the bridge. This is a concern because what's been approved for that bridge is not in fact what's being built. The Commerce Commission also says that this is not a priority for them. A priority road is a road which is not a new road, a road which already exists where there's danger and where there's been, you know, various problems with traffic. And an example of a priority road, which was given by them, is Curtis Road. So Curtis Road is at the end of a new four-lane extension which connects with Interstate 57, and that is clearly a priority. Also, the design is not the preferred design. They have their preferred design is called a complete streets design, which includes pedestrian access. That's not in the design that's there. But also, another concern is that the Lincoln connection is not funded yet. It's not cleared yet. There are a lot of issues not dealt with, which will include quick take, if that's the way you decide to go. It will include investigations around the archaeological evidence, which is quite substantial. And really, the bridge has to be connected with that connection. Otherwise, it's literally a road to nowhere or a bridge to nowhere. It's literally a bridge to nowhere. So we also spoke to them about our engineering projections, the engineering drawings, which show that this is a longer route than all alternative routes, and that therefore this road is not likely to be used very much. People will use the new Lincoln to go straight north to Fort Harris and whatever. We know that. The other issue that came up in the conversations is that this is budgeted to be a $9.6 million contribution by the Illinois Commerce Commission. They will only fund up to $12 million, given the way things are going. And beyond that, it's 100% local responsibility. And even up to $12 million, the local government has to supply another 40%. They are very worried about ongoing costs, particularly in this oil crisis at the moment. So that's going to be something which is going to have to be worn, and unless we're really clear about that, I think that's a very, very important commitment. Finally, we've decided on the basis of this information and the advice from the Commerce Commission that when the county petitions for this bridge to be funded, we will file a counter petition with the Illinois Commerce Commission, and we think the case that we've got against this bridge is very, very strong. So in this, I'm really just mentioning just one issue, the bridge. Of course, we know with this development there are a lot of other issues, but I thought it was important, given the fact that you people were going to consider this intergovernment agreement tonight, that there are a lot of wild cards in this, very serious problems which haven't been dealt with in a proper way in terms of funding, in terms of planning, in terms of design, and before you commit to it, this stuff has to be thought through incredibly well. We know this has been a process which has been biased and in a whole lot of ways missing information, and for us these meetings we've had with the Illinois Commerce Commission have been quite a remarkable revelation, and I'm not sure whether the people here on the county board fully know the Commission's position on these issues. So thank you very much for your time.
Ms. Dorothy Newman.
I'm Dorothy Newman. I live in downtown Urbana, and I'm very interested in the map that's before you tonight. I hope that you will oppose this map. It does not fit the five criteria that you set forth in your resolution when you set up the Redistricting Commission. Mr. Levy admitted that the map that's before you this evening was not the one that's the closest to the criteria that you set up. So I hope you oppose this map this evening. And I thought that Mr. Isles, the computer programmer who spoke on the 26th of April, had a very good idea when he said, why don't we send three maps, probably those that best conform to your criteria. And I don't think you have to have a straight up or straight down vote on any of those maps. There's nothing that says the committee of the whole cannot adjust those maps to conform to what they think is more fair in population, more fair in not splitting up precincts and cities and townships, and giving better representation to minorities. So I hope that you'll vote this map down and then find a much fairer map. Thank you.
For further public participation. Okay, we'll close that. Communications. I have one. The lights for the parking lot do not work. So if you're concerned about getting out your car when it's dark, you should perhaps leave early, around 8 o'clock. And I believe Mr. Reinstein is going to be out there with the lights on one of his vehicles to help people out when he's not here and after it's dark, so he can help you out there. But again, we're still trying to get Amron to fix the problem so we can have lights again, which were blown out during the storm about a week ago. Any other communications? Mr. O'Connor.
Is there any possibility we can just adjourn at 8 o'clock for change?
You like that?
It's possible, but we have no 8 o'clock rule. Mr. Noodle.
Just as a follow-up, if...
microphone, please.
As a follow-up, if any Democrats want to leave before the remapping, if it's not 8 o'clock, it's okay with me.
Any serious communications? All right, let's move on to environments and land use.
That's fine. Up here, that's fine. I think we should provide flashlights for all the public when they leave. We have no money in the budget for that, sorry. Okay. Hi, ELOC. We have actually just one item tonight, a recreation and entertainment license, recreation and entertainment license, Eastern Illinois ABAT Incorporated for live band, music, motorcycle, rodeo, location. The location is the Rolling Hills Campground at 3151A, Country Road 2800 East, Penfield, Illinois, on June 3rd, 4th, 5th, 2011. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Mr. J, second by Ms. Anderson. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. No monthly report. I have no chair's report. John, do you have anything?
No. The monthly report was handed out.
Was handed out? Okay. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. It's at your desks. I don't have any other business. None? I guess this will happen. So. It goes over. Okay. Thank you.
Have a seat. We'll get out of here by 8 o'clock. Lunch.
Next would be Lorraine.
Here.
Good evening. We have three agenda items for highway and transportation. First of all, it would be the monthly reports for the county and township motor fuel tax claims for April 2011.
Move to place on file.
Second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Next, we'll go into the county engineer's report.
Okay, item one is resolution authorizing the county board chair to sign an intergovernmental agreement with Urbana for the improvement of Lincoln Avenue.
Move adoption.
Second.
Open for discussion. Pius.
Mr. Blue, of clarification, there's a resolution number on the top of page two, is that correct?
Yes. On the top of, in paragraph, I'm sorry, paragraph nine, is that what you're speaking about, Pius?
Page two, second sentence. Second line, I'm sorry. I recall that, I guess I'm not saying it might be incorrect.
Yeah, that was actually the resolution where you guys just approved the project with Lincoln Avenue. That should actually read resolution number 7680. That's the actual resolution where the purple alignment was chosen as the alignment. So I have the resolution here with me.
I'll move to amend the contract or the amend the resolution to read 7. Yes. Sorry, what's number?
7680.
7680.
Yeah.
Instead of 7663.
Right. And that should be in two, in all places, right?
In all places where it has
Wherever in the resolution, then.
Right.
Second.
Second. Okay, it's open for discussion. Patsy?
Yes, I have a couple of information questions for Mr. Blue. First page.
Sorry, point of order. This is a we're on the amendment. I think
we're discussing the amendment.
Sorry, you're right.
Okay. Any discussion, James?
Yeah, I'd like to point out that it's important to have this correct because that resolution was the one where we insisted that the purple line move no further south, that it was designated to protect the landowners in that area.
Yep.
Okay, any other discussion? Okay.
Yes. This is on the amendment to the to change this resolution number.
Okay, all in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Aye.
That approved. Okay, we're back to the motion as amended. Patsy?
Sorry, I lost my concentration back there. Okay, first page, third paragraph. Why is that necessary in the agreement?
That it gives us the authority. Which paragraph are you speaking of?
Third paragraph, whereas 65 ILCS 511-91.2-1.
That's something that the lawyers put in there just to state which part of the statutes give the authority for the for us to enter into this agreement.
Yeah, but this talks about jurisdiction and maintenance of roads and streets. We're not doing maintenance.
There will be maintenance after it's done, and there's obviously jurisdictional issues about Lincoln Avenue.
Okay, but I thought that was taken care of later on in the resolution where it clearly states that maintenance.
This is the exact same language you have in the Olympian Drive. I haven't seen an intergovernmental agreement that didn't have this phrase in it. I don't know exactly why it's there because I'm not a lawyer, but the lawyers put it in there.
Okay, fine.
There's no engineering jargon in that one.
Alan?
Wait, I have a couple of questions.
Oh, you have
questions?
Something?
Thank you. Page 5, paragraph 7C. I just want to be clear. The reading of that is turning all the jurisdiction for police and fire during this construction over to Urbana. Is that accurate interpretation?
All it's saying is that the jurisdiction, there's not going to be any transfer of the jurisdiction for police and fire just because the city of Urbana is going to have Lincoln Avenue. So until the road is actually annexed into the city, the jurisdiction is not going to be affected by the fact that the city owns the roadway. So the city's not actually annexing out into this area. So whatever jurisdiction has the police and fire now is going to continue to have it until the city is annexed out to that point.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, Alan?
Jeff. Have we heard in public participation concerning the Commerce Commission who came down here and looked at the bridge? I have a couple of questions. One, is he correct in the criteria that the Commerce Commission puts on a bridge?
We're talking about Lincoln Avenue.
Verification, I have a question.
If you'd like me to answer that question, I can tell you I have had many, many, many conversations with Mike Stead, who is exactly who Mr. Cope is talking about. This is in their 2013 plan. Whether or not it's a priority for them, I guess he's talking about typically the grade crossing protection fund is there to upgrade at-grade crossings where there are high incidents of accidents between trains and automobiles. Obviously, there's no existing road right now. So is this a gigantic priority as far as there being accident rates? No, because there is no existing road. Is it a priority? Is it in their 2013 ICC plan? Absolutely it is.
Okay, and the reason I ask that question is simply because even though we're talking about Lincoln Avenue, something happens to that bridge fund or the money for that bridge. Lincoln Avenue is what? A dead end to nowhere. If that bridge is, for some reason, not built.
Right.
So what would be the point of having Lincoln Avenue go out to nowhere if the Commerce Commission says, well, we're not going to give you money for this bridge? And that's why I asked that question. It does have plenty to do with what we're voting on tonight.
Well, I have a letter on my desk directly from the Illinois Commerce Commission showing their plan, and it clearly has this bridge in their plan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Page 5, I just want to mention in the last paragraph that we inserted the acquire the land by 2013. That was done for the reason of giving all parties the opportunity to negotiate in good faith so that we don't get to eminent domain and quick take. And so everybody who looks at this document will know that's exactly where the timelines are and that all parties work toward that timeline so we don't get to a situation where eminent domain might occur. So that's just a point I would like to make. The second, unless Jeff, you wanted to
go. That's no. Great.
Mr. Quisenberry was looking at when we first had this document in front of us to ensure that the purple route didn't have major deviations from what we saw. James, do you have any concerns or anything you want to bring up tonight?
I think I covered that earlier.
With it?
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Any more discussion?
Roll call.
Okay, Alan.
Oh, I have a question for you.
Alan?
Thank you. Just give me one moment, please, Chair.
Point of order, can we...
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Point of order, I think this is not a question from Mr. Kurtz, this is a question from the audience. I don't think it should be allowed.
Okay, voluntary.
Actually, as a matter of parliamentary procedure, first the chair defers, doesn't make the decision, ask the parliamentarian. Parliamentarily, it's out of order because someone already asked for the roll call, and once you've asked for the roll call, there can be no further discussion.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
Okay, can we have an all in favor roll call? Do we need?
Call of all.
Alex.
Yes.
Ammons.
Yes.
Anderson.
Yes.
Benzel.
No.
Berkson.
Yes.
Betts.
Yes.
Carter.
Yes.
Coder. Coort.
Yes.
Esri.
No.
Holderfield. Holderfield.
Yes.
James.
No.
Jay.
No.
Jones.
Yes.
Kurtz.
No.
Langenheim.
Yes.
McGinty.
Yes.
Michaels.
No.
No.
Nudo.
Yes.
O'Connor.
Yes.
Petrie.
No.
Quisenberry.
Yes.
Richards.
Yes.
Rosales.
Yes.
Sapp.
No.
Schrader.
Yes.
Weibel.
Yes.
Motion carry.
All right. The next item on the agenda is the resolution awarding bids of the 2011 bituminous materials for various townships in Champaign County. We had the bid for the bituminous materials on April 26, 2011. You have a tabulation of the bid tabs there before you. Low bid was from Ileana Construction out of Champaign-Urbana. The prices that you see there are per gallon prices. Have not changed since 2010. Very similar. There may be a penny or two here or there, but very, very similar prices to what we received in 2010, and I would ask that you approve those bids.
Move to approve.
Been moved and second. It's open for discussion. Jonathan?
Madam Chair, is there a resolution number of this? I see Mr. Weibel left room. This doesn't have a resolution.
They don't have numbers at Committee of the Whole. There will be a number when you vote on it at County Board.
Any other discussion? Okay, Steve.
Thanks, Ray. Jeff, I was just curious, what's the, if you will, call it standard rate on oil now? Like, it used to be like 35 hundredths of a square yard back in the last century when I was working.
We're still 3/10 per square yard, something like that.
Right.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? As ever.
I have no other business.
Any other business for the highway department? Okay, then chair does not have a report, and we're going to place 9B1 on the B2 on the consent agenda. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good evening. This is the Committee of the Whole for County Facilities. We have some significant business this evening. Mr. Reinhardt's going to update us on various issues as well. The project update for 202 Art Bartel construction project.
The office areas and the county clerk's area will be receiving final inspections this week. Almost all finishes, ceilings, and everything it will be done. There is small, minor electrical and trim work to be finished in the maintenance bay. All exterior concrete is poured, drives. A couple of site lighting. Obviously, we've been delayed outside with all the rain we've had the last couple of weeks. So, weather permitting, earthwork, everything will be completed within the next week or so.
Okay. Questions? Seeing none, we'll move on. The monthly project budget report, I'd receive a motion to receive and place on file. Moved by Mr. James, seconded by Ms. Ammons. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. The next three items are kind of interrelated. We have the presentation of alternative solutions for the East Campus Stormwater Management Project, as well as a contract with Burns and Clancy and stormwater management issues. Okay. Alternative solutions for the East Campus Stormwater Project.
You want to bring
First Glancy? Are they here?
Yes. Chris Billings, First Glancy, please.
Thank you, Alan. I'm Chris Billing with Burns Clancy and Associates, just down the street here in Urbana, a couple of minutes away. We have been working, I'll try to keep this brief and then allow questions and see if I can answer your questions that way. We have been working on stormwater management and drainage issues on the this county East Campus for probably going on 15 years. Various projects marched throughout the development of the site over the past part of time. This project is being required now due to the new building. Essentially, we have done some planning in the stormwater management plan that the city of Urbana accepted on the order of 8 years ago, dealing with the northern watershed here on the campus. And so the project now is to continue some improvements that were started then to actually to complete stormwater management. Or to at least advance it another step to catch up with development that has been going on. There was a plan, as I said, developed on the order of 8 years ago and advanced and portions done 5 years ago and things like that. There's now an opportunity with this to take a different approach and a different look, and that's what the project essentially would involve at this immediate stage. I don't know if I have a large exhibit, but it may still be too small to be able to see from any real distance in the room. But we have on the order of 31 acres we're dealing with overall. Some development has occurred in the southern portion of that northern 31 acre watershed, which is now how we're now the subject of the project to advance. So I think you've seen, they have seen a description, a brief description. Alan, is that correct?
Yes, I believe so. Yes.
Okay. And so we now have basically the plan that was laid out and developed and started at some number of years back. It was mostly straight conveyance system and stormwater detention basins. Much of the detention has already been constructed as a part of the fleet maintenance building and is out there on the north side of the site. We can continue in that fashion or with progressing with continuing that plan on here to catch up and through time, or we can take another approach and try to use some more of the best management practices and green strategies that are more available to us than they were, say, 10 years ago with the advent of what we're doing, with an attempt to evaluate which process is going to be more cost effective. What can we do for a cheaper price and maybe some other benefits as well from it. So the first task of the first phase is to advance a preliminary advanced stormwater management modeling, taking new concepts into account, and then comparing the two different approaches at just a preliminary design scheme and level of detail, and then preparing cost estimates. And we'll look at both construction cost estimates and then make an attempt to project operating maintenance costs of the two different approaches as well, and what would be considered. So at the conclusion of this initial step, then, to have two different views, two different approaches to the same level of analysis that you could make an informed decision about whether to go one direction, go another direction, or actually take a composite, even could be pieces of both, and make a hybrid and continue with the project. But it will be able to make a better informed decision about really what makes the most economic sense and other goals and as well from a stormwater management strategy and standpoint. So I guess with that, maybe if there's some pointed questions, I can address some questions.
Mr. James.
So are some of the plans going to increase the size of the tiles that's taking the water away from there? Because on these ponds that you're talking about, I've seen some ponds built in our area out in Mantua, and with the last few rains we've had, I've seen them overflow their banks. I mean, they've gone out into the farm fields and what have you. And I know the area in question is a low-lying area, because when the nursing home was built, we had numerous water problems from what I recall. So I was more along the line that maybe there would be some elevation done and some tiles put in to run the water, whether it go to the system out there that was put in Southwood, I think, or is it going to go to another nearby creek, river, whatever we have. But from what I hear, because with all those buildings and blacktop and the runoff is going to be, like the range we've had, would be enormous, I would think. So there needs to be a place to channel that water. In my mind, would that be such a low-lying area out there? Am I somewhat correct?
Well, that is correct. And to give you a little bit of detail, there actually are three outlet points for this northern watershed. There are two storm sewers that go across Main Street to the north and go up to the tracks and then come along and cross under the tracks. There's a third connection that would route, if these are interconnected, then through the detention basins that have been constructed there north of the fleet maintenance facility. That has an outlet over to the storm sewer system that's along Learman that was put in when 5-6 years ago when the Learman improvements went in. So the original goal of the project then was construct some stormwater detention here, interconnect these three outlets, and then the stormwater management plan that was developed in the past was developed under City of Urbana ordinances, and they've reviewed and approved that concept. So you will actually have three outlets that are interconnected. It all go north and drain to the tracks and underneath. It's all the same watershed. It's just three different routes that get there. The area in the back, particularly, you're talking about that's low. Yeah, there's, for part of the route from Main Street south along Lake Bartell, there's an 18-inch storm sewer. That goes so far, and then it's a 12-inch, and that doesn't even go to the low areas anymore. So the infrastructure that's in place there right now is not sufficient. It really isn't. And so part of the project then ultimately would be not only connecting that, but bringing some sort of conveyance outlet to the south, so we actually can take not only the water that's there, but the increased runoff that we're going to get with the new roof and paving that we expect. And you also would be set up for ultimately, I mean, it can be sized ultimately for continuing development. The idea, the concept of, so that's the conveyance approach and detention, which is a necessary thing to pay attention to. The other alternative to look at with the best management practices is a way of reducing the peak volume, the peak flow rates of what we have to deal with for conveyance or for detention, to reduce the volume, reduce those peak flow rates. So the infrastructure we put in could be smaller and maybe still serve the same size storm if we take care of some of that potential drainage on site to either, you know, pervious pavements, bioswales, rain gardens, cisterns. There's a variety of techniques we can use that will reduce that peak, so the size of the infrastructure that would have to go in and the amount of the water that would have to be managed could be reduced. And so that's what the analysis of looking at the two different approaches, simply the conveyance and the detention, which is somewhat established, and we have a good chart for where that's going, and or implementing some, looking at a more green best management of practice approach to the watershed, and what can we do in that fashion in order to reduce the cost of what would be built.
Mr. Mosher.
Does all that water go to the saline eventually off that north end, or is part of it going to go south?
No, it all goes to the north. It all does go to the saline.
Where's the outlet for that?
As I remember, once it crosses the tracks, it comes up, and I believe in the older part of the landfill up there, there's a ravine, a drainage connection that hooks into the saline, and that's the route it goes now. Yeah, so we're not changing. I mean, actually, once we hit Main Street, we're not changing actually the route of the conveyance that happens today at all. But it does. It continues across Main. It has to comes down and crosses the tracks, I think, somewhat here, and then there's underground conveyance north of Main Street or north of University Avenue.
So there's no chance any of that water is going to go on east along 150 or through that Walmart property up past Aaron's?
No, that's a completely different watershed.
Mr. Sapp?
I think it's important to understand that the reason why, and I sat with the group with Patty and Alan and Deb that discussed this, the reason why we're looking at this and going two routes simultaneously is to determine what the best construction cost is. If green, from what we understand, has not only the advantages of being green, but it also has a potential reduced cost in construction, we have to have the agreement with Burns and Clancy to at least get us to that point. So we have to look at them together, get to the decision point, do we go and continue with the green or back to our traditional plan that we have used throughout the rest of the campus. So just kind of as a background is why we're asking for the simultaneous approach on steps 1, 2, and 3. So,
Betsy?
Just to add a little information beyond what Mr. Billing did to Mr. James' question, as an example, is that design build building had a couple of interesting aspects to it, such as permeable concrete instead of all that concrete that's just been laid recently. If they had had a cistern taking the water off the shed of the roof, that would have minimized greatly some of the issues that we're contending with in figuring out how to handle the stormwater here in the North Campus area. So doing some of those things as the county progresses in the building of covering surfaces with parking lots, etc., is a very important way for us to consider going, because the rules are coming down from EPA to manage stormwater in these methods as a priority over the old methods of 70 feet of box culvert, which is the original concept for the North Campus running parallel to Main Street.
other questions from committee members? Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item is a contract with Burns Clancy and Associates for engineering services that you have on your desk this evening. Chair will entertain a motion. Moved by Mr. Sapp. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Is that Patsy? Did you second it?
Yeah, she's got my voice. No, I didn't.
I'll give it to Mr. James. No, discussion. Seeing no discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. If Mr. Reinhardt could update us on the Champaign County autopsy space issue.
If you'll notice in your on page 27 of the agenda, there's a letter from MSA Professional Services, the architects on record for the construction of the 2R2 Art Bartel project. After we had our last meeting, I approached them to make sure that we knew exactly what we needed to do to actually perform autopsies in there. This letter is their reply. What's not stated in there is I believe that we do not have to change, apply for any type of different building usage. Zoning is all still accurate for the county uses, and their recommendations to and requirements. And prior to that, on page 26, after Mr. Northrup and I met, we discussed, we crafted this letter to say that we believe that all of these items, 1, 2, 4, and 5, will be met as required, and that the recommendations stated in item 2, although are desirable, are not required to perform autopsies in this building. So.
Everyone understand what's going on here?
Okay.
Mr. Weibel, what don't you understand?
The additional $15,000 to $20,000 cost, is that for all 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or just number 2?
Basically, that's number 2.
Just number 2. So
yes.
If you don't do number 2, no extra cost, correct?
Other than what's already been reported last month's meeting,
right,
that's correct.
Right. I'm talking about today. Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Petrie and Ms. Ammons, you both had your hands up. What was your question?
I have a couple of questions. If we don't do number 2, is it going to become a situation that in 2-3 years that Mr. Northrup comes back and says, oops, we should have been doing this originally, and I'm discovering that as I'm using the room.
Mr. Northrup, did you catch the question?
Yes. No, actually, I don't believe so. Our morgue, actually, the way it's planned now, without these changes, is almost identical to McLean County's facility they use now. And basically, I view these changes, the example that was given by the architect basically was something he got off the Internet. I have a copy of it as well. The recommendations and requirements that are put out by a company that sells the equipment for a morgue. And so they put that out there, in my opinion. Of course, if I had the option of having the Cadillac of morgues, sure. If price wasn't an option, we could do a lot of different things. But just doing what we're doing will suffice for us to be able to do autopsies. And actually, some of these recommendations, like the ceiling tiles, are, in my opinion, out of line, because that's not what they do in other places. And if they have a problem with the ceiling tile, they just change out the ceiling tile. And it's not actually a problem because of the autopsy. It's a problem because what's above the morgue and the other facility leaks on the ceiling tiles, and they have to replace them in that morgue. It's not because of the autopsies themselves. So I don't know of any reason other than normal wear and tear that we would have on any other building that we would need to do anything down the road.
May I have a follow-up question? I'd like to pull back to what you presented to us previously and the costs, and I was reminded of that from the minutes, which was roughly $20,000, which you said you would be able to cover from your own budget. do I remember correctly?
Yes. It actually, one of the prices, that was for the autopsy sink itself, which is a special sink.
Right.
It actually came in cheaper than the original bid I had. I was actually able to find a third bidder that was cheaper, so it actually came in cheaper than that. Now, the trick I'm running into is the longer it takes to put the sink in, I'm still doing autopsies in Bloomington and paying a fee over there, so right. As that money comes down. So the sooner it gets done, I should be able to cover it. So.
And I think I remember a question Mr. Betts had about a 10% overrun on the cost of the wrong size fan.
That wasn't me.
Oh, sorry, Mr. James. Has that been settled? Does anybody know?
In my mind,
that the change order on the exhaust fan was approved after your last meeting, pursuant to what you approved at your last meeting.
You're welcome,
Mr. Webb. The ceiling tiles, are they tiles like this?
Similar, yes.
Easily swapped out?
Yes.
Okay.
They're fairly cheap.
So, clearly, you can do this in the future if you want to go that route.
Yes.
And also, I see you can also apply the epoxy paint. I guess the only thing that is, you know, a possibility is the cabinets.
Right.
Do you know the difference between the cost of wood cabinets and the plastic laminate? I'm sure the stainless steel would be very expensive.
I don't know the cost between the cabinets. I'm not in favor of the cabinets that they recommend in here, just because I think if any moisture gets behind the laminate that's on them, they tend to bubble or crack.
So are you okay with the cabinets?
Yes, I am personally, yes.
All right, thank you. Yes, Mr. Alex.
Well, I think you mentioned this to some extent a minute ago with the exhaust fan, but what's the state of the changes that we authorized the last time around?
The changes that were authorized last time, we've actually ordered the sink. It's coming in, it's being made or whatever. We're waiting. Alan, do you want to talk on the rest of the stuff? You probably know better than I do.
Yes, the other exhaust fan has been installed already.
Okay, specifically with regard to the sink, are there plumbing, like significant plumbing changes required for that? I mean, do they have to cut the slab to put in additional drains and venting and so forth? Or?
No significant changes at all.
Okay, so either the slab wasn't poured yet or it's going someplace where there's existing?
It will not require, slab is in place, it will not require floor cutting or anything.
Okay. And then there was one follow-up. It looks to me like, except for the cabinets, there's nothing here that couldn't be addressed at comparable cost later, right? We're basically talking about coatings and ceiling tiles and things, which you could just as well go in 2 years from now if there was a problem and add, right?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Esri?
Just a point of clarification. The new plumbing line, the upsized plumbing line, has that already been taken care of?
No, that's approximately 25 feet long, and it will not be put in until the sink is ready to be installed.
Okay. It just hasn't... They haven't even put it in yet. Okay.
That's correct.
Thanks.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Physical plant monthly report.
There is any questions? Once again, for your information, there's nothing out of line here at this point I need to point out, I don't think.
I entertain a motion to receive and place on file. Moved by Ms. Ammons, seconded by Mr. Rosales. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Burpen Energy Lighting Retrofit Project Update.
We are 1 week away from completing at the end of our program for the EEP grant we received. We will be submitting final documents probably Wednesday next week, submitted to the state. We are continuing to work on the EECBG, I think I said that right, grant, which is administered to the Regional Planning Commission. That grant program will last probably through the winter for us too. As we travel around in, we are virtually removing all T12 light bulbs from this building, replacing them with T8s, electronic ballasts, adding motion occupancy sensors where possible. We have ordered and are waiting for new high bay, high efficiency lighting for the gymnasium, which is going to be a major cost savings for us in our utility bills. Those items should be in the next 2 to 3 weeks, and we will start installation coordinating with the gym programs, of course, from the park district.
Questions?
Mr. Alex.
Do we have to, how are we disposing of the old fluorescents that we're pulling out? Is that a significant cost to have those disposed of?
It is a cost. I'm not sure if we can classify it significant or not. Regardless, to comply with state rules, we have to dispose of them through a carrier. We've been trying to find the most economical way to do that. Fortunately, as I understand it, according to these grant programs we are being funded through, we can... cannot use them in this building again, but we can recycle and reuse them in other facilities. So we're going to get as much use out of them as we can. Then they will be boxed and shipped off. And I believe our current supplier right now is Tepper Electric. They give us the best price for recycling.
Oh, so the supplier of the new bulbs is taking the old ones for
recycling. Just turns out to be this time, yes. But we checked with multiple suppliers and recyclers about our best place to do it at.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Ms. Petrie.
It's just a thank you for moving along so well on the project and getting the grant funding to help pay for it.
Thank you. Ms. Ammons.
Well, the gymnasium, does the Park District participate in that portion of the replacements in the gym in any way?
No, they do not.
No.
Any other questions? Thank you. Next item is the courthouse finial update. I promised you last month we would get an update, and so we're going to get an update. If you have looked at it, we have some issues that have been resolved, some that haven't. If you could summarize for the members of the body.
Certainly. Page 32 of your agenda is just a chronicle history of what we have dealt with. I would like to add that I did receive an email this morning I believe it was Coppercraft suppliers, and they are starting to step forward, and they're going to, in the next day or so, after official contact and request, we will move ahead and see what we can do about getting it looked at and repaired and or replaced.
Questions from committee members? Yes, Mr. Quisenberry.
Yeah, I see that there's information on here about assessment of why the spire failed. So I assume that when it's replaced in the future, it'll be able to suffer through a few lightning strikes before it falls over?
We certainly hope so, yes.
Mr. Weibel.
Well, I think that's really an important question, because clearly we've discovered a weak link, maybe the weakest link in it. And we certainly want to strengthen that, so hopefully that it may still be the weakest link, but it'll be stronger than before, and it'll withstand whatever happened to it. So I don't want to put the same thing back up there, because it's likely the same thing could happen to it, and without a warranty.
You're absolutely correct. First of all, it was not a lightning strike. Well, we believe it was high winds that took. Okay, and it did break just right in half, almost where the base transisted to the round spire on top. And we are going to talk with the architects on record who had the initial design and make sure that they consult with the manufacturers to make sure it's either repaired or replaced correctly so that we do not have this failure. We're going to do the best we can to make sure it doesn't happen again this way.
And there'll be a new warranty under whatever they do? Or an extended warranty?
We can certainly ask for it. We'll see what we can come up with.
Any other questions from committee members? Okay. There's no chair's report, and the other matters will be taken up at full board.
Okay.
Okay, the next item on the agenda under other businesses, a decision regarding the redistricting map, which was sent to us from the redistricting commission, which is Plan 1E Revision 1. The way I would like to do this is I think we should have a motion to accept the map as the new redistricting map. We'll have an up-down vote on that, and after that we'll have a single motion or several motions to send back. Either it passes, that it's the map. If it fails, then we'll have motions to send back ideas, plans from the board on how the commission could improve on the maps. So,
I'll make a motion to accept the map.
Mr. James made a motion. Is there a second?
Yeah.
Second by Mr. Jay. Ms. Holderfield.
Thank you.
Discussion.
That's a roll call.
We will have a roll call when we get to the vote. Is there any discussion on the map? Mr. Levy is here if you want to. He can make a presentation on it or not. Mr. Quisenberry.
Yes, I will be voting against this map because I believe intrinsic to some of the rules we provided to the commission, it had results that I think do not preserve communities of interest and, in fact, divide communities to a degree that they should not be divided. And so I will not support this map.
Further discussion. Ms. Holderfield.
I had some question regarding the packing and stacking and cracking and all that. I'm not very well informed on it, so I went to the ACLU site and just for informational purposes, thought it would be interesting to share because I know that was something that was of concern. And from what I understand, the commission has followed all of the voter rights according to the way that was written. So if you don't mind, just bear with me for just a few minutes. It says, what are some of the techniques used in redistricting plans to dilute minority voting strength? Three techniques frequently used to dilute minority voting strength are cracking, stacking, and packing. Cracking refers to fragmented concentrations of minority population and dispersing them among other districts to ensure that all districts are majority white. Stacking refers to combining concentrations of minority population with greater concentrations of white population, again to ensure that districts are majority white. Packing refers to concentrating as many minorities as possible in as few districts as possible to minimize the number of majority-minority districts. All of these techniques may result in a districting plan that violates the Voting Rights Act, as well as the 14th Amendment. Other techniques have also been used to affect a group voting strength, questionable purging of regulation rules, moving polling places, administering difficult registration procedures, annexing areas, decreasing the number of voting machines in minority areas, and threatening reprisal for voting. Now, from what I can understand about how this process was followed, the way that reads, it doesn't look like to me that any cracking, stacking, or packing has occurred. Now, someone, I think, before had disagreed and said that there was packing, I believe. Now, when I asked questions before, it was we followed the Voting Rights Act. We followed state and federal guidelines. So can someone maybe explain to me exactly how we were cracking, packing, or stacking?
Mr. Nutter, you have a comment, question? Mr. Levy, do you have any response to that? I'm sorry, I'm asking Mr. Levy. Mr. Noodle's causing problems and making me change his name.
Mr. NATO.
Thank you. Yes, it is Mr. Levy. In regards to your comment, I guess I'm not aware of the concerns that were addressed regarding cracking, stacking, packing. The way that the commission dealt with that issue is one test. We were only allowed. There are three possible tests that are outlined in the ACLU document. They're often referred to as the Gingles factors, based on a Gingles court case. The one that we did use was a rule. So we did try to comply with the Voting Rights Act, and we did find one test that we were able to use. It was based on a compact district, a visually compact district, as well as other, and then the voting age population, so 18 and over by race. So we used that information to provide information on whether how we fit those criteria. Said it.
So basically you're saying that none of the maps that have been presented to the redistricting commission violates the voters' writing of the Voters' Rights Act.
Point of order, he is not an attorney and he cannot
Mr. Lovell, I suggest you don't answer that question.
Okay. But from the way that the maps have been, let me try and ask that question. It doesn't appear as if that's a violation. It doesn't appear that that's actually what happened. Is that a question that's fair to ask?
I think that could be your opinion. We should ask him of his opinion on that legal question.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we don't have legal counsel here from the counties. They would be the person to ask about that, I think. And Mr. Levy is not. I'm not going to put him in that position.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Alex.
I think maybe I can follow up on that, Mr. Levy, if you can stay at the microphone. I think one of the bases for concern about packing, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, was that the majority-minority district is the largest in population of any of the districts in Map 1E. Is that, am I remembering that correctly?
I guess I'd have to refer to a map, but I'm not certain. But if anyone has the maps, you very well could be correct.
Okay. That is my understanding as to the primary factor that raised concerns about packing is that the majority-minority district did have the largest population of the districts on this particular map.
Mr. Rigetti.
I'm not sure if this is a question for you as Chair Pius or for our new parliamentarian, Tom. I was pleased to hear you say that if the vote on this map fails, that it would go back. We would compile a list of specifics per the request of, I think, both Chair Winkle and Vice Chair Pat of the Redistricting Commission and go back in that direction. And the reason I'm asking for, I guess, clarification or assurance of that is that if I thought that there was a chance that this map would fail and that this process would be done, I would vote for the map because of my interest in seeing the process completed. If I am comfortable and certain that this will go back to the commission with specific recommendations per the commission's request, then on a personal level, I see the need to do that. And on a personal level, I'm interested in what our processes are doing to the potential 10 years from now to show how this process plays out in its entirety. And so I guess I'm looking for a feel or an assurance that this process will play out.
Well, that's really up to the body. Because we'll vote up or down, and then the body has to decide what we're going to give back to the commission. Mr. Betsas Pavlatern, do you want to say something about that?
What I would say is what you have on the agenda is the up and down vote on this issue. And if you vote it down, because we are still under the terms and conditions of that ordinance, it goes back to the commission by the terms of the ordinance. We can direct, under the rules of this body,
the commission to consider other factors, but there's really no other motions other than those two that could actually be made because they're not noticed under the Open Meetings Act.
So may I ask a quick follow-up? So it's possible, as a point of clarification, to essentially amend those rules to say bypass going back to the commission conceivably?
No. That's a legal question, Mr. Butts. Not a problem solving question.
I won't act as the county's attorney. I will give you my educated opinion.
Please.
We have an ordinance. The ordinance is still in effect. If we reject this map under the terms of the ordinance, it goes back a number of times, actually, for that commission to consider.
That's what I need to know.
We can, as a body, we can say, these are some things we'd like you to take a look at.
Absolutely. Thank you.
It's not that clear. It was passed as a resolution, not an ordinance, and there's a difference. The ordinance often is binding. Resolutions are not always binding. Sometimes they're not binding at all. So, it's on the books, but there are lots of residents on the book which don't say much.
I would challenge that judgment.
I don't know how to do that.
Mr. Quisenberry.
Yeah, I would like to assure Mr. McGinty that per our conversations at the study session, I know I and Mr. Alex listed some criteria that we thought would be useful to give back to the commission to make another attempt at the map. And my understanding, I don't want to speak for Mr. Winkle, but my impression was that Mr. Winkle thought that those criteria fell under what they could work with in the commission. So I have every intent to make a motion that enumerates those items should the map fail.
Mr. Nuttall.
The last meeting I submitted to everybody a guideline or a motion that I indicated verbally that I wanted this to be a motion for the next meeting. It is not on the action items for tonight, but there was one request by Mr. Kurtz, which I added, and I see this as a guideline to direct the commission and also for the commission to work under the guidelines that we've established here. So I'm not sure if the chair will allow this to be a motion that we could consider today because it fits in with what I asked it to be a motion.
Some of it would fit in, but also some of it is, like item number one is not needed.
Well, I asked to have anybody who wanted to make any suggestions or changes to it to get back to me, and I was more than willing to make changes.
I understand that.
I'm not finished, please.
So wait, what's the point of order?
What's the point of order?
Well, the problem is that the motion is on whether to vote on the map or not. So, I mean, if you want to discuss this, it should be after we vote on the map.
That's fine.
Further discussion. Mr. Schrader.
I have a point of clarification. If the vote goes against this map, does that mean that this map can't be considered with changes again? Or this map is completely dead?
I think based on the original resolution, it's rejected. If it's revised, it's a different map. So it could come back. That's my feeling.
Okay.
It's a different map.
Because that's why I want to clarify. If
I think the resolution reads either you modify the map or bring a different map. It's either or.
Well, and I understand too. There's a lot of discussion about not one map, but maybe two or three maps coming forward too. So that's, I appreciate the clarification. Thank you.
Hold on a second. I'll look at the reading here. What it says is that the map is rejected, and then a second map comes back. So it doesn't say, so it's going to be a different map. So whether it's a modification of that map that was rejected or another one, it's not clear.
So being the rejection.
Mr. Langenheim.
If we reject this map tonight, it appears to me that there are three alternatives open to the committee, or the commission. They can replace it, they can revise it, or they can try to persuade a majority of this body to accept it. Isn't that about it?
I think they don't have the third option. Not the third option.
Why not?
Second. Yeah, because it does say a second map implies it would be a different map, although maybe a legal word person might disagree with that. But you're splitting hairs, Mr. Langenheim.
I'm not speaking from politics, just logic.
You're splitting the logic down pretty far. Further discussion.
Roll call.
Mr. O'Connor.
Of course.
So we're not, in fact, rejecting this map. If we vote to send it back, we're voting to send it back.
Because they vote to reject the map and to ask for a second map.
As it is, yes.
So if we really are rejecting it at this meeting, we ask, that means we want a second map.
We just don't want it as is.
Yeah, it's only that. That's correct.
That's really not what the motion says. Reject is a stronger word than as is.
The motion is to accept the map. Okay? That means a yes vote, you want the map, a no vote, you do not want the map. Is that clear?
Yes.
All right.
Call the question.
Roll call, please.
Alex.
No.
Ammons.
No.
Anderson.
No.
Benzel.
Yes.
Berkson.
No.
Betts.
No.
Carter.
No.
Coert.
No.
Esri.
Yes.
Holderfield.
Yes.
James.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Jones.
Yes.
Kurtz.
No.
Langenheim.
No.
McGinty.
No.
Michaels.
No.
Mosier.
Yeah.
Nudo.
Yes.
O'Connor.
Yes, please.
Petrie.
Oh, yes. No.
Oh, I heard yes.
Miss Petrie, one more chance.
Petrie.
No.
Quisenberry.
No.
Richards.
No.
Rosales.
No.
Sapp.
Yes.
Schrader.
Yes.
Weibel.
No. Motion fails. Okay, we're entertaining motions on to send things back to the judiciary committee. Mr. Quisenberry.
The motion failed, not carried.
Right? Motion failed.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to give some additional...
Silence, please. Thank you.
Some feedback to the commission, since they will be working on another map. I have, in this motion, I have six items, so be patient. I'll go through each of those. Number one, that a minimum population variance in the creation of minority-majority and minority-influenced districts should be the highest priority. Two, compact and contiguous scores should be the next priority, and preservation of municipal boundaries should be relaxed to facilitate simpler district boundaries and allow populations on the fringe of municipalities to be combined with the municipality that they share a community of interest. Number three, precinct lines and splits should not be considered, as the county clerk will redraw the precincts after the map is passed. Four, township and municipalities should not be split in more districts than their population warrants and may not be split into more districts than their population warrants plus one. And a little explanation there, that means that a city like Urbana could not be split into five because its population only warrants three, so it could be split into three or four. Number five, while respecting the boundaries of townships and municipalities, the commission is directed to not double count these boundaries in comparing maps. And six, because time is of the essence, the commission is requested to strive to provide a new recommendation by the completion of their May 11th meeting, and at that time provide the county board multiple maps for consideration in that recommendation. As Steve Ziegler, Chief Assistant State's Attorney, has advised, it is acceptable under the terms of the resolution.
Had a motion. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Coward. Discussion. Okay, thanks. Mr. Sepp. Sorry, Mr. Dunzel.
NATO.
I need to make a sign back here.
I can't see the sign.
I guess just a point of clarification based off of the population suggestions that he made. Using Urbana as an example, I believe Ms. Padd was the one that mentioned at our commission meeting that the population of Urbana would be equal to 2.2 districts. So under that, are we saying that Urbana would be 2 or no more than 3? Or 3 and no more than 4? I mean, I think that's a difficult thing to draw a line through when we're going to have variances like that where, you know, it's not an exact number and it doesn't fall on an exact number. But do we use standard rounding procedures where anything below a 5 goes down and anything above goes up? I think from a commission standpoint, I think we would want some clarification on how you would want that handled.
Mr. Quisenberry. Yeah, the intent, as I stated, was to for Urbana to be recommended for Urbana to be split into 3.
Put the thing back on. There you go.
But be limited to no more than 4. Population warrants that it be split into 3. It cannot fit into 2 districts.
So 2.2 means it's 3. You could add one more. It was like 1.999. It would be 3.
To make a map, you're going to, you know, break some eggs. So
go ahead.
So if I may, as a follow-up, essentially everything rounds up. Because, I mean, we're talking about more than Urbana. I mean, Urbana is not the only municipality in the county. So, I mean, we can't rely on just picking one municipality to make this decision.
I think this would work in the same way for Savoy, which can fit into one district, but then could be split into 2 at most.
Yeah, I think Mahomet's less than 18,000.
Yeah. So it works the same for all municipalities.
It's really only Champaign and Urbana that are affected by that. What's the population of Rantoul? Mr. James? What's the population of Rantoul?
What's the population of Rantoul? 13,000 count the last.
All right. Mr. Richards.
Are we talking about townships or are we talking about municipalities?
I believe we're just talking about municipalities only.
Because I was hearing Urbana's Cunningham Township. I was assuming we were talking about townships. Are we talking about municipalities?
Mr. Quisenberry?
Sorry,
municipalities, correct? What's this formula?
Not actually, the text I used were township and municipalities.
Township and municipalities.
Okay, just wondering.
Okay. Mr. McGinty.
I'll just say briefly, I heard loud and clear from the commission, who I'm interested in working with, that they wanted specifics. These seem like reasonable specifics. I think that this is a very sound list that provides additional flexibility to the commission to have additional options. And I think the board, I've heard from enough board members to hear also that they're interested in multiple maps. And James, I'm not sure, but was it specified in there as well? I did not.
Yes, point 6 requests that they provide multiple
maps. Okay, thank you very much.
Let's see. Mr. Bendel?
Multiple. Sorry, I don't mean to hug the microphone. I've had 2 turns already.
All right, okay. We'll go. Ms. Ammons.
Great, great process. I just want to ask quickly that the consideration of the multiple maps, the maps can be considered from public or from RPC. Is that correct?
Well, all the maps have been submitted to RPC, I believe. So I'm not. Could you clarify? I'm not sure.
Any other organization can submit a map to Andrew Levy? Is
to the commission.
What's the process of accepting other maps in this process?
Okay. Where's it saying?
They can't assume that these rules have been followed.
Well, I know. We've had maps submitted to the commission, and the commission has gone, you know, looked at the various attributes of them.
About, is that what you, I'm not sure. Are you saying?
So that's what I'm asking. Basically, if the NAACP wanted to submit a map right now, and they wanted to submit a map to the commission for consideration for the county board to consider the map, what is the process for that to take place?
I think they'd have to submit it to the commission, and the commission, well, I guess the commission would have to, could pass it on to us or not, I suppose. Mr. Richards, you're a member of that commission?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I can't, obviously the commission would have to put it forward to get it to the county board, but it's been the commission's policy that every map that so far, including the Richards map, that's been done on the inside or outside, the commission has accepted and placed on file. However, every one of those has been done with the RPC software, so that it's been able to be imported into there. So as far as the first step, if the NAACP made a map with borrowed or ARC software, just like the Farm Bureau and I and a couple other people did, and fed it into the system for Andrew to churn out, the president would be for the commission to put to place it on the map pile. There's nothing that compels the commission, though, to send it forward, but it would be, if you turn in a map, it's considered by the commission.
Can I ask you a question, Ms. Emmons? Okay, Ms. We need to go with Ms. Holderfield.
I had thought that any map, regardless of who it was, the public and organization could submit a map. However, all of the maps would be put through the same requirements that all of the maps that have a 1E, revised, whatever, that they have to all go through the same requirements. So I never heard that you couldn't submit a map and it wouldn't be brought for consideration. So what I would like to have happen is, regardless of who does, who submits, who presents a map, now that we're sending this back, if there are more maps that come forward, if we just continue to follow the process that we gave the commission to follow for all maps for consideration.
Ms. Brookson, microphone, please.
With regard to the same rules as for the communities and municipalities, should go for communities of interest. The minorities are 26% of the county, and yet they're only well represented in one district, and it seems to me that since they are 2 3/4 districts worth of the population, they should have a bigger proportion in more than just that one district, because they are a very small proportion in all the others.
Ms. Anderson.
I don't have in front of me, but in regard to what Ms. Holderfeld said, I thought I remembered that anyone could draw a map, but they were welcome to come in and use the software in this facility.
I believe that is still a possibility, I think.
I thought that's what was required.
Right. I mean, I think the station is still up and operating. Mr. McGinty.
Perhaps this is something that one of the commission members can clarify for me, but it seems to me that we're at the point of the process and in time frames that require us to now, as a board, give the commission specific direction, and that there's been ample opportunity for the submission of maps to this point. Several have submitted maps. They have gone through the process. I'm perfectly satisfied with that, but now we need to do our job, which is to now provide some give and take to the commission to finish the job. Now, if I'm missing something, please correct me, because I'm not sure, but seems to me that that's the logical path from here, is we give them specifics, they come back to us with the results of what we've requested, and that other maps, I don't know how we get those into play at this point.
If I comment on that, I think that if those maps fall within the boundaries, the boundaries or whatever we tell the commission to do, there's nothing wrong with that. Let's go with Ms. Michaels.
Thank you. Maybe I'm a little confused here or something, and I appreciate the parameters that Mr. Quisenberry has put
in front of us. But as we look at that and we think and we add up 11, if there's a possibility of 3-4 in Urbana, you're going to have another 4-5 in Champaign. I really would hate to see the rural only end up with 3. So I think we need to be very careful, but 11 really isn't as big a number as you think, and we need to make sure we follow the process. I can appreciate the process.
Thank you.
Ms. Petrie.
I have one clarification question for Mr. Quisenberry, and then I might have a follow-up for Mr. Levy. In the criteria that you've laid out, Mr. Quisenberry, are you waiving that criteria in any manner? We discussed that last week as a possibility.
I can speak to that. Right now, Ms. Beasley is passing out the text, so if anybody wants to read in detail, it'll be available shortly. Items 1 and 2 do imply priority. I would hesitate to provide a lot of guidance with regard to priority because we specified what the commission should do in the original resolution. Some amount of priority emphasis is required because they acted under the original criteria and did not develop a map that was passed. So some clarification on the weighting of population variance and the weighting of minority-majority and minority-influenced districts I thought was necessary. And also weighting of the compact and contiguous scores because the map we saw was not one of the higher rated maps.
May I have a follow up question with Mr. Levy?
Go ahead.
Andrew?
Oh, Mr. Levy?
Yes. When we had the conversation last week concerning the basically triple counting of the boundaries, precincts, townships, and municipalities, if I'm remembering correctly, you indicated that that did skew the statistics a bit, and the gentleman who spoke during public participation also indicated that, and that had something also to do with the contiguous scores. So at Mr. Quisenberry's suggestion, eliminating precinct boundaries as a binding criteria, that will or will not be helpful in drawing the map. Maps, I should say.
Sure. So I think I pulled out three questions out of that.
Only three?
To answer the last question, will it help create a map that might be more desirable? I believe it will. That was a large constraint. That was very much a constraint. Now, the triple counting, I don't believe I spoke to that previously. The way that the software was run, there was no way for it to be triple counted. Those were simply reports of numbers. So there was no triple counting, but it was all three of them were weighed, so they were all used as factors, but they weren't, you know, there wouldn't be a triple count for all of them lining up on a single boundary. The issue of compactness, we did hear from the public at the study session that was an issue. I believe that the way it's handled in this proposal will work, but I will remind you all that compactness is a very general measure, and we'll make sure that that's brought forward as well with the next map.
Okay, I have two follow-up questions then. If another boundary was relaxed, such as municipalities or the townships, would that facilitate the mapping process?
You know, all of those are constraints. So it really depends on the will of the board whether those boundaries are important enough to maintain or whether the desire for this map goes beyond those boundary lines.
Okay, that's something. And then my last one is, Mr. Quisenberry has this sort of listed in an implicit order of sort of importance or weighting. Is that... Oh, I'm trying hard not to poison the well with the way I ask this question. Since you mentioned previously that all the criteria in the resolution was given equal weight, the suggestion here or the implication here is that things will not be given equal weight. In your judgment of having done now 23 maps, can you talk about what you would anticipate as being a significant difference due to a changing of the weighting factor?
The way that we handle that is our simple trade-offs. We try and achieve the best option based on a map scenario that is generated. What we would do in the case of these suggestions is really focus in on the population, is what I'm hearing. We provided four alternatives that had very good population deviations previously. We can go back and revise again to try and fit better into the desires that we're hearing tonight.
Thank you very much.
Why don't you hang around? Mr. Alex.
I'm sorry, I'm a little disorganized here. One comment to Ms. Berkson's comment about racial representation and whether you could in fact draw multiple majority-minority or minority-influenced districts. I don't want to speak to the experience of the mappers because I haven't actually sat down and tried to do this process, but I know from past political causes I've been involved with in Champaign, in the city of Urbana, that it is in fact very difficult to draw multiple minority districts within the city of Urbana, let alone Champaign County. A lot of the guidelines for trying to draw minority districts go back to a time when, in communities that were unfortunately, you know, ghettoized, where it was easy to say, hey, you know, the minorities live on this side of town and the white folks live on this side of town. I think it's somewhat salutary that Champaign County isn't quite segregated enough to make that process easy. So I'm not sure, although I like the sentiment behind your suggestion, I'm not sure it's actually possible to draw multiple majority-minority districts based on the district populations we're talking about. And now I'd like to offer, I guess, two suggestions, and I would hope that these might be accepted as friendly amendments. They're both very minor.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I would make a motion to amend Mr. Quisenberry's motion as follows. First, to delete the words reject the map and from the first line, because that's already been dealt with by another motion.
So just take out the one motion to give?
Motion to give, right. That's right. So strike reject the map and. And then in recognition of a point that Ms. Michaels brought up, in point number two, there's language that says allow populations on the fringe of municipalities to be combined with the municipality. I'd like to change that. I would propose to amend that to say allow populations on the fringe of municipalities to be combined with or excluded from the municipality if they share a community of interest. And that would make it clear that the intent here is to allow squaring off of boundaries. And if that means, you know, you bring in a subdivision that's just outside a community, or you push a subdivision that's sort of off in the corner of a community out into a rural district, that we're not trying to prejudice that one way or the other.
Okay, is there any objection to that? Then we can consider a friendly amendment if there's no objection. Okay, Mr. Quisenberry?
Yeah, I do consider that a friendly amendment.
Ms. Coward? Okay. Thank you. Mr. Butts?
I guess the question I have, it actually concerns Mr. Quisenberry's motion, which is, I think, a salutary motion, where it says, recommendation by the completion of May 16th meeting, and at that time provide the county board multiple maps for consideration in that recommendation by Steve Ziegler. I think that we should be more explicit and say, including those submitted as a minority report as part of that. We're never going to see anything that minority on this commission if we don't do that.
So you're saying that you want a single minority report map?
No, I'm saying that that needs to be included as part of the work of the commission, the minority report.
Are you making a motion?
I'm suggesting that we need to do that if we're ever going to see it.
Well, you don't have Mr. Langheim, you don't have the floor, and Mr. Noodle. Mr. Noodle?
Well, having heard what Tom just said, I'll break it off into two pieces here. Mr. Alex made a great point about the fact that it is almost impossible to have more than one majority-minority map district in the thing. And I guess what I'm concerned about with Mr. Quisenberry's number one is... why is that the highest priority? Diane brought up, why isn't rural interest the highest priority? Why isn't other special interests up? I think what we're doing here, I am all for the process. I am all for Mr. Quisenberry's request to give guidance to the commission. I am not for changing the resolution, which it stands as, that's how they used it. That's how they came up with the maps. And to try and change some of these things now here in midstream is not a good thing to do for the commission. Secondly, there are seven citizens selected by the chair and four board members, and the maps come forward on the basis of that vote. Why would we have a vote to push forward a map that is defeated? Now, if those people who are on the commission make a case that the seven citizens in particular are interested in moving forward, I'm all for that. But why would the commission, if they're supposed to be independent of this group, push forward a map that fails? That makes no sense. What it is allowing to do is getting political in this process. And I fail to see where a map that has failed because seven citizens have looked at it a little bit more independent than our four people on the board. I fail to see why we have to push forward a map that's been defeated. Now, that is just circumventing, A, the commission's independence, and B, makes it political. And just one more thing. If Mr. Quisenberry would either remove number one or put priorities for all special interests, I would be in favor of it. But I am not in favor of putting one segment in favor of others. Diane makes a great point. Why, most cases, county government is all rural representatives have. And here we are saying, no, we want to have more municipal districts and we want to take away from rural areas. That just doesn't make sense to me. So I would hope that he would make a revision to that.
Mr. Langheim.
2 points. One, I think what we really want is a board that represents the political interests of the entire populace of the county in proportion to their numbers. Secondly, the notion that this commission is independent of this board doesn't really address the fact that the product of the commission has to be approved by the board.
Mr. Mosier.
I think I'm one of the representatives of the biggest minority in this county, and that's Champaign County Farmers. And this board's the only board we've got to go to with our problems, and we're controlled by a lot of what this board does with several aspects of how this county runs, and I haven't heard one minute of discussion about what are you going to do with the farmers in this county. We don't have any population, but we certainly have a lot of area out there that needs representation.
Mr. Kurtz.
As a commissioner, in our commission, we did not reject, as Mr. Winkle corrected himself, we didn't reject any of the maps. They weren't all defeated. They were just set aside, and 1E was placed forward. Any of those maps can be resurrected in the commission at any time to be looked at, and if the commission decides to push forward a Fosbrough map or a Richards map or any of the others, they can do so. It doesn't hold them back from looking at those maps once again.
Mr. Butts.
I have to address something here that I would be derelict in my moral duties as a human being not to raise the issue. The reason for Baker versus Carr, which is one person, one vote, is because there was over-representation by rural residents, and that's what went to the Supreme Court. To say that there's discrimination against rural residents comparable to 300 years of discrimination against African Americans in this society, in which it took a civil war, 100 years to pass the Voting Rights Act, to try to undo invidious historic discrimination in voting in this country, and to say that there has been discrimination against farmers on the parallel level as it was and still is against African Americans and other minorities in this society, that is the most absurd, ridiculous statement I have heard in a long time on this board. There is a difference between invidious, historical, racial discrimination and rural impact. There's a very big difference.
Mr. Quisenberry.
Yeah, I'd like to speak to a couple things where I'm going to disagree with Mr. Nato and then agree with him a little bit. The reason why number one is the way it is because that's the law. And I see that minimum population variance is a route to make sure that neither municipalities nor rural are overly represented. But I would also say that you don't see anything in here about directing the commission to consider a specific map or maps, because I was listening pretty carefully, and I guess I agree with Mr. Winkle that if we tell the commission what map to look at, they're not really a commission. And so this is focused strictly on criteria. It's focused strictly on helping the commission weigh the criteria that are in front of them based on our guidance. Frankly, they could take this and ignore it and send us another map that's just like 1E, and I don't think that would be a very good idea. But this is our advice to them, to give us a map or maps, preferably, that we would accept.
I suppose it could give us 23 maps, too. Ms. Berkson. Microphone, please.
Just from what Mr. Mosher said, that the farmers don't have much numbers, but they have a lot of land out there. The fact is, it's one person, one vote, not 1 acre, one vote.
Mr. Alex.
I wanted to make a couple of observations about Mr. Quisenberry's motion. One is that I wanted to make it clear, I don't see this as a replacement of the existing charge to the Redistricting Commission. I mean, the existing charge to the Redistricting Commission specifically discusses looking at respecting communities of interest, respecting rural representation, and I certainly don't think the intent here is to say stop looking at communities of interest or rural representation. I do think those are important, and I think that needs to be understood that this isn't, this is additional thing. This is additional guidance. This is not a repudiation of the legitimate criteria that they've already been given. The other comment I was going to make is, I think, Mr. Quisenberry said it well. It's the law. I mean, I think we can argue here over whether, the Democrats are getting a raw deal, or the Republicans are getting a raw deal, farmers are getting a raw deal, urban residents are getting a raw deal, but that's something that we can settle in this room. If the map has excessive population variance or it doesn't adequately respect minority voters' interests, that's going to be settled in a courtroom. And I think no matter what, if there's anything we can all agree on, we need to make sure that the map we approve is going to stand up and not get us dragged into a court fight. So I wouldn't see this fact that the motion says, hey, the most important thing is equal population and majority minority. To me, that's just, the map's got to be legal, and then all other factors are things that we need to work out amongst ourselves.
Mr. Rosales.
I have a friendly request that whenever the maps are presented, if you could bring a PowerPoint or something to put on the screen so our viewing audience could at least have a comparison of what's being presented to us, because we have a list of maps, but I believe it was Ron Bensel last week that indicated that he would like to also see an overlay, and I think it was Mr. Carter that would like to see an overlay so we could see comparisons from what the current districts are to what the 304 proposed districts will look like, and so that the audience at least could be following as we take a vote on this. Yeah, I would like to see it on the screen.
We'll try to accommodate that. Further discussion. Mr. Carter.
I don't know if it will take Einstein to look at that map and see who is hurting. If you passed that map, I wouldn't even live in. I have my district clean out of the existence. And I don't know why you can't see that with the
talking about incumbency here.
You move District 5 clean west. And all you left was a little jog, a little spot there on the map. But would be the old District 5. Now, if you can't see, that's just not fair. And I don't know, what is 2011? And the scene yet, we haven't learned to give each other consideration in this country. It's sad, really. It's really sad.
That's first of all.
Mr. James.
Well, all the comments have been made. Some of them are really good, I think. But I guess what bothers me is when the commission was going through this, everybody had the chance to go there and voice some of those concerns to the commission as they were going through the process. Some did. Patsy, I'm sure, did. But my problem is I keep hearing all this, and we beat it around. I, for one, when it was brought to our caucus and that, you know, the numbers were brought, everything was brought. I think they're doing as they were chartered to do. I think, yes, we should look at it. If there's any major infractions that they don't approve, we should do. And then I hear these arguments about minority or majority. And then I hear a comment made, let's bring a map up due to the minority faction of the group. Well, in this chamber, there's a lot of us that sometimes do not agree with a vote. We are the minority, but we accept it and we move on and we do the best with it. It always seems like those that sometimes don't get what they want to come up with another solution to get what they want, and we all need to just move on with it. It's what the majority wants. One man, one vote, majority. And I think that's where it all lies. Now, some of the tweaking that they have talked about, if the commission wants to accept it, good. That's their prerogative. But let's let them do their job as it was outlined and within those parameters. And again, if we don't like it, go to the meetings. Quit beating them up here.
We have a motion on the floor with these changes, so we can talk about that. Ms. Ammons, do you have any comments?
I want to call a question.
Let's go with Mr. Schroeder. Has a chance to speak on this particular motion. Go ahead, Mr. Schroeder.
Thank you. Just want to add that what the main motion, getting back to the main motion, but these are things that we talked about that Mr. Quisenberry and Mr. Alex talked about study session, and these are things I think Mr. Winkle wouldn't have a problem with as chair, and I don't have a problem with. These are things that
Robert's rule says when the question is called, you have to.
I do not recognize it. You cannot interrupt. I have to recognize you for that call.
No,
I did.
No.
I asked if you had a comment. I'm sorry. What?
I appeal the decision of the chair.
I'm sorry, Mr. Schroeder. She did call the question.
Vote on my hand up for a long time.
I understand that. That was my error. However, we need to vote on that. The vote is to call the question. Show of hands. To call the question.
Motion fails.
Thank you.
Need 2/3 vote. Mr. Schroeder, continue.
I'll just finish up quickly here. If it's possible, could the portions of the minutes to the committee of the whole that deal with this be present with the commission or the commissioners, please, if at all possible?
Tomorrow night.
Well, Mr. Quisenberry got this out in what, 2 seconds, so I know.
We can do our best, but I can't guarantee it because the clerk just went home sick.
Well, we'll make sure they get this motion, though.
Obviously. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Carter, we want to vote. We need to call the question here. Do we want a roll call vote, folks? We want a roll call vote, okay? A yes vote means you agree with this motion as presented by Mr. Quisenberry. No, you do not want it.
Wait a minute. Including the friendly
Board?
That's correct.
Okay, we'll call Ms. Busick.
Mr. Chairman.
All right, Mr. Bengel.
Just a clarification real quick. This does not include Mr. Betts' recommendation of a minority.
He did not make that was not a motion.
He did not make a motion.
He did not make it on
that.
Okay.
Okay.
Alex.
Yes.
Ammons.
Yes.
Anderson. Yes. Benzel.
No.
Bergson.
Yes.
Betts.
Yes.
Carter.
Yes.
Cowart.
Yes.
Esri.
No.
Holderfield.
No.
Jane.
No.
Jay.
Yes.
Jones.
No.
Kurtz.
Yes.
Langenheim.
Yes.
McGinty.
Yes.
Michaels.
Yes.
Mosier.
Yes.
Nudo.
Yes.
O'Connor.
No.
Petrie.
Yes.
Quisenberry.
Yes.
Richards.
Yes.
Rosales.
Yes.
Sapp.
No.
Schrader.
Yes.
Weibel.
Yes. Motion carries. Okay, I want to point out one last item. There's a card on your desk about Lincoln in Illinois. It's closing May 27th, so get to the courthouse and visit if you can. It's pretty good. I've seen it. And then, Mr. Carter.
I'd just like to say, it's written in black and white. If you reject the map, it goes back. So what we just said, we're just going over and over.
We send it back, Mr. Carter.
Yes, sir. It goes back. It's written in.
We're doing that.
What?
We're doing that.
Well, how come we have to vote? Oh, I do. You're
a bitch. We're adjourned.
I got to go to the I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do that.